Let's turn your Bibles to the book of Job. Chapter 38. Job chapter 38. We are almost finished with Job. As I keep saying that every week, right? But I mean it this time. With such enthusiasm, we get to finish this powerful text that has been a blessing to me, and I pray that it is a blessing to you. Because as we talked about last week, what's interesting about this text here is very simple. We are talking about human real life here. The understanding of suffering. A lot of us believe that because we are Christians, we are automatically given the pass of not having to suffer. Some teachers teach that if you are right with God, you will not be going to do the things that you're going through. So for some reason, we believe that once you accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you have a carefree life. Now, is that true? Spiritually, well, thank you. Okay, now, let's remember that. Everybody said no, right? I would like to hear the same participation throughout the entire service. Okay? I'm just saying. If I'm not clear, then make it me known. I'm just saying, okay? Like I said, it's the unicorn effect. It doesn't happen all the time, but when it does, it's special. I'll say, how many of you are blessed today? Yeah. All right. Hallelujah. Yeah. Anybody going to watch the Super Bowl? Everybody jumps up. Yeah. Y'all love Jesus? Yeah. Anyway, there's some truth in this statement. When you accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you are saved. Meaning that your spiritual life, you are saved, you are protected by the Holy Spirit. You belong to Him. That's carefree. But life in and of itself is full of problems. Constant suffering. Constant pain. God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? That is something that we ask ourselves all the time. Whether it is a financial hardship, whether it is a physical illness, or a mental concern. Why, God, why, God, why? Job is asking this question. Why did this happen to me? Why me? I've asked that question. Maybe some of you have asked this question. Why me? I'm a good person. I live a good life. Job was willing to put his case together and put his case on trial before Almighty God. If you remember last week, I showed a clip of the greatness of the creation. There was a scientist that was able to take a satellite and send it however far it was able to go and take a picture of Earth, and all you could see was just black, this black space with a small little gray dot, and that was planet Earth. the greatness of our God was able to create all of this and still deal with us on a personal level. Able to have a relationship with us, the people that live on this small gray dot. So, I think we need to change what we are asking God. Now, last week, God responded in a whirlwind during a storm. How many of you have ever been frightened from a storm? For those of you that are particularly brave and don't want to necessarily lose any cool points, have never been afraid of a storm, I don't know if that's 100% true, but you can identify being afraid of something that's natural. If the winds blow too hard, you get nervous. I'm afraid that the tree's going to land on my brand new Tesla that I just bought. I'm afraid that the wind is going to blow off my roof because my roof is only held through the paint. I'm afraid that, and if that's the case to you, I didn't mean that personally. I'm just using that as an illustration, okay? Please forgive me if that applies, okay? I'm just simply saying that there are times when I saw footage of Hurricane Katrina, and that is scary. You wouldn't want to see or stand in the middle of that. When I took Layla to school on Monday or Tuesday or whatever day it was so windy out there that I was nervous. Because driving my car, it would blow us all away. Okay? My car is so small that the wind can pick it up and bring us to Oxnard. But the wind, the waves, the rain, the storm, God spoke to Job in that. Something that would make him afraid. And then in beginning parts of verse 38, which we're going to finish 38, he begins to ask Job the question, "Where were you? When all creation took place, where was Job? Where was he during this time?" You get strong enough to be a man enough to say, "God, I have a case against you," and God does not even address that situation. He shows himself. But he shows himself through the creation. So let's continue on. We're going to begin at verse 31. 38, 31. "Can you bind the chains of the Pleiades or loose the cords of Orion? Can you lend forth a constellation in its season and guide the bear with her satellite? Do you know the ordinance of the heaven or fix their rule over the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds so that an abundance of water will cover you? Can you send forth lightning that they may go and say to you, 'Here we are'? Who has put wisdom in the innermost being, or given understanding to the mind? Who can count the clouds by wisdom and tip the water jars of the heavens? When the dust hardens into a mass and the clods stick together." I want to call this message and next week's message, if the title of this whole series is called Why, I want to call these next two messages Mistake Checkmate. For those of you that don't know what the game of chess is, when you win in chess, what is the thing you say? Because you have made a move that the person can't do nothing or go nowhere, it's over. Some people are so good, I'm not throwing out any names. Some people are so good at chess. How many of you ever played chess? How many of you ever heard of chess? Some of you believe that chess is a little too much, a little too complicated, right? And that's fine. There are some people that are so good at chess, so good at chess, that they could say that they're going to have you checkmate in 3 or 4 moves. Have you ever met any of those people before? Okay, so they'll say, check, mate in 3. Your next 3 moves, I'm going to have you checkmate. Now, I've never been that good. I always lost, but it's fun. But mistake, checkmate. And this is for who? This is for Job. In these previous verses, Job keeps pounding away. God keeps pounding away at Job by asking him questions. He's going to make sure that Job, not only does he bring Job back down, but he's going to make sure he understands who he is. He questions him about the universe. He questions him about the control of the universe by God asking Job, where were you? Do you have responsibility of these things? He is also showing Job of God's perfect, Yahweh's perfect sovereignty. That even though he is questioning Job with questions that he cannot even remotely answer, he's showing his power and his authority. There was a time when I was younger that, and it's hard to imagine now because it was such a long, 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 long time ago, when I did not have a job and my 100% dependence was upon my mother. There was an event that I went to where my uncle took me somewhere and my mom gave me money. I wanted to buy something, I forgot what it was, and the price was $5. And I said, it's $5. So my mom gives me $5. I didn't think about taxes. So when my uncle shows up and we're saying, it's only $5, no, it's more. The fact of the matter is that I thought that I had control over the situation. But the fact that the thing is that I didn't. I didn't have control over anything. My uncle had to save me in that situation. He had to save me by making up the difference. So what we see here is that what God is doing, and what the question that my uncle asked was, do you have the money? I said, yeah, $5. And the $5 with the little faces. Y'all remember those? No, okay. The fact that I remember dollars with little faces and y'all don't makes me very, very concerned. Neither you guys have disappeared from the face of the earth or you were born in like 2000. Y'all don't remember small face dollar bills? Now they have the big faces. They used to be small faces. Okay. Y'all don't remember? Wanda, really? Fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, you know what? Anybody work at a bank, I need to talk to y'all. We need to get some small bills and show them next week. I cannot believe. Okay, but anyway, the point is that I had $5. You don't have all the money. Yes, I do. I got it. No, you don't. So what did he do? He showed me, number one, that I didn't have enough, and number two, that he did. God is doing the same thing with Job. Job makes a case. This is why you are doing me wrong, Lord. And God shows him, number one, how insignificant he is and how great he is. Job, how insignificant Job is and how great Yahweh, how great he is. That's what he's showing in these texts. Let's continue on. Verse 39. Can you hunt the prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their dens and lie and wait in their lair? Who prepares For the raven, its nourishment, when its young cry to God and wander about without food. We go from the greatness and wonders of the cosmos to earth. Now we're dealing with animals. Understand this, that even in the nutrients that the cosmos need in order to do what they do as far as rotation, in order for the ocean, the currents, the moon that controls the tides, all of that is orchestrated and made by God. He is in control of all of these things. He's literally giving Job an understanding of what he does and what Job can never do. How many of you, I can't even go there with you guys because it's such a major thing. You understand that, okay, Wes has a particular job. How many of you can do it tomorrow without any training or anything? None of you. None of you. Okay? Not one. And vice versa. I'm not going to put Wes into a doctor's position to do open heart surgery. Right? God is literally saying, this is what I do. And he's asking Job, do you have control over any of these things? Can you do any of these things? Can you control the greatness of the cosmos? The answer is no. You can't even control how animals get their food. Let's bring it down to a lower level. We're so quick to sit there and tell God where he falls short. We're so quick to say, God, why are you allowing these things to happen to me? It's amazing to me that we can sit there and look at God and point our fingers and say, God, why is this happening? You are allowing this to happen. All the while, we are still benefiting from his grace and his mercy. I believe Sandy Farnell had a problem with this part of the podium, correct? Right? At one point, okay. So let's speak hypothetically, okay? I take a rope and I wrap it around my waist, okay? I'm not going to give you an example because it would be funny, because if I fall, y'all going to laugh, and then you'll be like, oh, and then next thing you know, we got to cancel the rest of the service. If I'm hanging off the edge of this here, and I'm going to fall, but I get the other Sandy Hatmaker here, to hold the rope. Okay? Now she's trying to hold my weight that's leaning, okay? Physically, I'm going to fall. But she has this superhuman strength to hold it, right? She's holding it, right? What happens if she lets go? I fall, right? Okay, good. Okay, now, if Sandy is hanging on to it, and she's angry with me, she has an option to hang on or to let go. Me falling is 100% dependent upon Sandy hanging on to it. Do you see the picture? Now, what if I jump up and mock, make fun of, and belittle Sandy? I'm hanging on. She has control to let me go, and I'm about to fall, and I say, Sandy, come on, Sandy, come on. Are you serious? Why are you wearing that? I mean, come on. And just start just disrespecting her as she's hanging on. Most of you would say, oh, no, LaJuan, you got to go. I'm not going to sit there and hang on to you while you belittle me. Let it go. Up. Right? You understand we do that to God? We are literally hanging on, and the edge is eternity. The edge is hell. And we are hanging on, and God is holding us. And you're literally saying, God, how dare you? God, why? He's literally hanging on. Now, praise be to our Lord that he does not let go. What did Jesus say? It's better to live without a member of your body than have your whole body go to hell? To lose one part? God provides for all. None of you have been down in the Mariana Trench. I think the only person that's been down to the Mariana Trench that survived scuba diving was Alan. Okay? He's the only one. He's the only one that I know of that... And matter of fact, I don't even think it was scuba diving. You held your breath for that one, didn't you? Yeah, so see, Alan actually went and went down. You understand how deep the Mariana Trench is according to what we know? That whole Mount Everest goes under that and you still have water above Mount Everest? Alan swam all the way down there with one breath. Okay, so what I'm saying is we know how deep, we don't know the animals, we don't know the animals that are in there, we don't know anything that's going on that deep, deep down, but God is in control of all of it. We have no control over what life is down there, how it operates, and how they get their nourishment, but you know what God does? He's in control. And he's in control of your life. The small little tiny things that you think that God is not in control over, he is 100% control over. I'm having this problem with my stress. He knows. I'm having problems with my attention span. He knows. I'm having problems with my confidence. He knows. Let's give our Lord credit for being who he is, the great I am. Are y'all with me? So God is asking Job these questions, not because he can give an answer to it, because he can't. Job has made a mistake, and God has checkmate. Chapter 39. Do you know the time the mountain goat gives birth? Do you observe the cleaving of the deer? Can you count the months they fulfill? Or do you know the time they give birth? They kneel down, they bring forth their young, they get rid of their labor pains. Their offspring become strong. They grow up in the open field. They leave and do not return to them. God is talking about just the life of an animal from conception to birth. Do you have any control over those things? Do you form the animal in the womb? Who sent out the wild donkey free? And who loosed the bonds of the swift donkey? To whom I gave wilderness for a home and the salt land for a dwelling place. He scorns the tune of the city, the shoutings of the driver he does not hear. He explores the mountains for his pasture and searches every green thing. He explores the mountains of the pastures and he searches after every green thing. This is so important because we're talking about, again, the nature and character, the behavior of an animals, including the donkeys. Talk about the pastures, searching out the green things which God provides. Verse 9. Will the wild ox consent to serve you? Or will he spend the night in your manger? Can you bind the wild ox in the furrow and ropes? Or can you harrow the valley after you? Will you trust him because his strength is great and leave your labor to him? Will you have faith in him that he will return your grain and gather it from your threshing floor? I believe in this text here, the first 12 verses of this chapter, we are getting a chance to see that Job is becoming less and less, feeling less and less significant. Whatever issue he had before with God is starting to diminish. It is starting to slowly go away. He's starting to realize that his issue is nothing in comparison with Almighty God. Again, God doesn't ask questions that he doesn't know the answer to. Can we agree to that? He knows the answer. He knows the answer. It's almost as silly for those of you that teach students, for those of you that teach students in school settings, it's almost like a situation where you have a kid that thinks they know what you're about to teach before you teach it. I already know about that. Oh, really? You do? Okay. And you allow them to fall on their face. One plus one is what? Yeah, well, we see where Wes comes from. God is literally saying, listen, this is who I am. I'm in control of all things. You're in control of nothing. And you understand that even in Job's thinking, God gave that to him? He gave him the luxury of having a mind. Being able to think. Like he's given all of you. The mind to think, to use your own opinion, to actually have your own thoughts. But this is the beautiful thing. Even though he gives us the luxury of having our own thoughts, having our own mind, having our own brain, he can tune us into make us remember what our focus should be. For those of you, I was getting notices that there was high surf this past week here in Oxnard. For those of you that have ever stood high waves, it's pretty intense. When I used to go boogie boarding when I was in the military, because we were on a beach in Camp Pendleton, it's pretty intense. High waves. Like, I'm talking like I boogie board in, like, you know, 350-foot waves, you know, stuff like that, you know. But anyway, my point is that not that high, but what I'm saying is when they come, they hit you. Boom. Everybody hit by a wave? Anyone ever been hit by a wave? Boom. How many of you ever said, wait, time out, let me get a break, let me get myself together? You may have said that. It doesn't mean it stops, does it? Here comes another one. You get hit. Oh. You get up. Oh, man, that was crazy. Here comes another one. Boom. It happened to Layla one time, and she didn't like it. I thought it was, you know, we had to be careful, make sure that the water didn't take her away. But what I'm saying is it keeps coming. Creation. And you cannot deny God in the constant movement of the tides. God is in control. When's the last time that you said, hey, I need to go by the beach because it stops today? Anybody? I'm going to go on down to the beach because there's no waves. No, it may be low. The ocean never stops. We can go to the beach right now, hang out, waves. You go and move in mid-America where there's no beaches at all, go and live there for 30, 40 years, come back, same spot, waves. It doesn't stop. Just like your heart doesn't stop. It keeps going until you're gone. But the moment that you are conceived, there's a heartbeat, and it goes your entire life. It doesn't stop. Do you have control? Now, some of you may argue with me about this. You don't have control over your heartbeat. You may take medications to change the rhythm. You might use things, but your heartbeat, you don't have control over. Hey, Luan, what happened, man? Hello? There you go. All right, Kira, that's strike two. That's strike two. Was it Ben? Ben. Okay. All right. I got my eye on you, Ben. Anyway, I think it was me. Heart. Luan, what happened? Oh, man. I forgot to turn on my heart today. I was in the hospital this morning. I forgot to turn it on. Wrong. Your heart is always going. Your body's always moving. Inside your body, there is a constant movement of things that are happening that you have no control over. God is in control of all things. He's feeling less, Job is feeling less and less significant. This is who you are, Job, and Yahweh is saying, this is who I am. It's almost as if God took Job on a field trip during the storm. Number one, he takes him to the observatory. You get to look at the cosmos and the sky and the stars and the formations. And he says, where were you when I did all this? Then he takes him down to earth and sees the movement of the earth, the clouds in the sky, how things rotate, how things go. And he says, where were you with this? Then he takes him down to the animals. Where were you with this? He took him down. He went from the observatory to the zoo, showing animals. Let's continue, verse 13. The ostrich wings flap joyously with the pinion and plumage of love. For she abandoned her eggs to the earth, and worms them in the dust, and she forgets that a fool may crush them, or that a wild beast may trample them. She treats her young cruelly, as if they were not hers, though her labor be in vain. She is unconcerned, because God has made her forget wisdom, and has not given her a share of understanding. When she lifts herself on high, she laughs at the horse and the rider. How many of you have ever known, anyone know what an ostrich is? How many of you have ever seen an ostrich? Seen them in person? Them things are pretty intense, don't you think? I would not want to be around an angry ostrich. Can't run from them because they run fast. Them things stand about, what, 8 feet? They got some. Do you see their feet? Them things are no joke. Ostrich, right? When I went to Solvang, we got an ostrich egg. The thing is this big. I still got the shell. That thing, you could drop it, boom, and it won't break. I remember one time when we got that ostrich egg, we drilled a hole in it to get the yolk out. Me, Jamie, Layla, Kara, her kids, we all had a good time. We ate good. I think one egg is equivalent to, I think, what, like 25, 30 eggs that we get at the grocery store? We ate good. But what I'm saying is, what are we saying here? We see that the ostrich is a strong animal. It's an intimidating animal. But it's also very silly. Why? Because they leave their eggs. You can see things where people try to sneak up on a nest and take the eggs because they're just sitting there. We see that, right? The ostrich doesn't think, oh, I don't want anybody to take the eggs or crush the eggs. They go off and do their thing, leaving them right there. That's where we see the strength of an animal, but we also see the foolishness of the animal. Do you think here, and I'm asking you, can you consider these things as God has not given the ostrich wisdom, but he has given man wisdom? Do you see Job kind of being very similar? He is somebody that God said, hey, he is righteous. But Job literally went from being a righteous man to accusing God, being acting foolishly at the same time. So what does that say about us? If the Bible calls Job a righteous man, but yet he acted foolishly, how much more are we? Yes, you might have a right relationship with God and everything's going well, but you are not immune to not being foolish. You can be foolish. You can make choices that are not the best choices. There's a mixture of foolishness and strength that we have as believers. Some of you are strong in certain things that I am 100% weak in, and vice versa. We love the Lord when everything is going great. We love the Lord when we're ready to give somebody advice about how to deal with their issue. But when we get the issue, it's the end of the world. Oh Lord, I can't take it. I've known people that have literally been suffering for something. Oh my gosh, I don't understand what God is doing. I don't understand. I don't get it. What is God doing to me? Why is this happening? Why is this happening? Okay, pause, bruh. Can I talk to you about something that's bothering me? What's bothering you, brother? Well, I'm having a problem with, well, man, you got to trust in the Lord. Wait a minute. Just 5 minutes ago, you just told me how you were suffering. Lord, why me? Now you're telling me to trust in the Lord? Have you trusted in the Lord? How many of you are guilty of that? Let's be honest. Guilty of giving someone advice that you won't take yourself. Telling someone to trust in the Lord when you don't yourself. I had a horrible week this week. You know what Jamie asked me this week? Something that I did not even think about. I'm sorry. I'm being real with you guys. Y'all should know that by now. She asked me one question. LaJuan, have you prayed? Mistake? Checkmate. Horrible week. Still dealing with it. Have you prayed? LaJuan, I need you to pray for me with this. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Wes, I'm praying for you. Jesse, brother, I'm praying for you. Do you need me to pray for you? Jesse, LaJuan, do you need me to pray for you anything? Nah, man, I'm good, but I'm suffering. Oh, Lord, why? I'm giving advice, and I can't even take my own. I can give you counsel, but I'm not receiving counsel. Does that make sense? The ostrich is a strong, powerful animal, but it acted foolish, and we do the exact same thing. Verse 19. We're almost done, you guys. Do you give the horse his might? Do you clothe his neck with a mane? Do you make him leap like a locust? His majesty snorting is terrible. He pauses in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He goes out and meets the weapons. He laughs at fear and is not dismayed. And he does not turn back from the sword. The quiver rattles against him and flashing spear and javelin. With shaking and rage, he races over the ground. And he does not stand still at the voice of the trumpet. As often as the trumpet sounds, he says, aha. And he senses the battle is from afar, and the thunder of the captains, and the war cry. God switches it up here a little bit, and he started the previous animals that he was talking about when he was dealing with the ostrich, you know, he was talking about natural animals in their natural habitat. Now he's talking about a war horse. How many of you have ever seen a horse before? So for those of you that have never seen it, it's a pretty interesting animal. Okay? What's funny about a horse is that, and I learned this, and I did not know this, but I heard that they are considered, I don't know if I'm using the right words for this, considered prey animals, meaning that they get spooked, they get scared. Guinea pigs are that way. You know, they get scared, they run, they hide. A horse, that's a big old thing, ain't it? But you know what? Let a noise go off. They get spooked. They start jumping, right? Have you ever seen this? We're not talking about that type of horse. We're talking about a horse that has been groomed into warfare. That's why if you notice, there are certain horses, like if you ever, for those of you that ever watch movies, there's a genre called Westerns. Have you ever heard of them? Just want to make sure. Now, how do you think that the horses are able to do scenes with gunfire? They've been trained to be okay with it. An average horse, if the wind blows too hard, they're running. I know this because Layla used to do horseback riding. And I was always nervous that a strong wind may scare the horse and they take off and poor little Layla goes flying off. Always nervous about that. Still have anxiety about it. She doesn't do it no more. I've seen people get what is it? Bucked off, thank you, bucked off of a horse. But these horses that we're talking about here, these are war horses. They're not afraid of the loud noises and the sounds and the things that normally horses fear. I was told, hey, if you want to pet the horse, make sure they see you in their peripheral. If you go up behind them and you touch their tail, they just might give you a surprise. And that surprise is going to be a kick that's going to knock me out. Have you ever been kicked by a horse before? Really? That is one of the strongest women on the face of the earth right now in this church. I'm telling you, you let me get kicked by a horse, man. Y'all be singing Sarah McLachlan songs. I will remember you. Because I wouldn't make it. No way. We're talking about here war horses. These are domesticated horses that have been trained for war. And you know what? God has control over them too. Twenty-six. Is it by your understanding that the hawk soars, stretching his wings towards the south? Is it your command that the eagle mounts up and makes his nest on high? On the cliff he dwells and lodges, upon the rocky cringe and inaccessible place. For there he spies out food. His eyes see it from afar. His young ones also suck up blood where the slain are. There he is. For those of you that don't know the science of how hawks work, it's an interesting science. How any bird works, it's interesting science. What we see here is we see that God now he was talking about the horses. He was talking about the ostrich. Now he's talking about the eagles. He's talking about the animals that we can identify with. He has the eagle has the ability to search out food from long distances. He has great eyesight. How many of you have ever seen a hawk or an eagle pick up prey? There was a poor little America's Funniest Home video where this kid had his little hamster and he had his little cage and he's holding his hamster and he puts the hamster on top of the cage. Seconds later, whoop, got picked up. I felt bad for the kid. I felt bad about it. Me, Jamie, Kara are sitting in the backyard, minding our own business. We have, behind my backyard, there's this land. Just land. I see this hawk catch a bird in flight. I never saw that before. The bird is flying, all of a sudden the hawk comes, catches the bird while he's flying. These things are some pretty hardcore animals. They don't play games. If they were 6 feet tall, I would say we need to be afraid. Then you have the YouTube videos where they have, like, you see hawks or eagles trying to pick up a kid. I don't know if that's true. I'm talking about like 3-4-year-old, maybe, but I'm just saying that's just really, I saw when they said it was fake, I would like to believe that because that's kind of scary. But anyway, my point is, these animals are great in what they do. They soar. They fly gracefully. What's the American animal? Is the bald eagle. Are they still extinct? Are they still around? They're still extinct, but they're endangered, right? They're not extinct. Okay, they're endangered, though. Are they not beautiful? Beautiful animals. God created that. God orchestrated all those things. Job doesn't know how the hawk works, how the hawk soars. Job has no control over how the hawk works and how the hawk is controlled. Yahweh is simply saying this to Job: I am God, you are not. What does this mean to us? What does it mean to us? What did God do in his beautiful orchestration? What did he do when he was, we weren't here. Can we all agree to that? None of us were here in Genesis, were we? Genesis 1, we weren't there, were we? How many of you were? Who was there? Okay, I just want to make sure. I want to make sure. Verse 31 of Genesis 1. Genesis 1:31, what does it say? It says, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And then there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Understand this. All of the things that God is talking about in Job, his perfection of all these things, were done in Genesis 1. And since we understand that Jesus was there also, because we know that in John chapter 1, that our Lord perfectly orchestrated all things to work good. The flight of the eagle is God's, it's an example of the praise and worship from the animal to God. Did you ever think about it that way? You see an eagle flying and soaring through the sky. I believe that the fact that he's doing this is a worship to our Lord. You ever wonder how is it that you can pour gallons and gallons of cement inside of an ant hole and have a whole city made up? That's God's glory. How many of you have ever ate through a tube? Or heard of someone eating through a tube in the hospital? None of you have heard, or a couple of you, none of you have heard that. Okay, do you understand that some people get fed through a tube? I'm curious, do you know what it tastes like? I'm assuming that you don't know what it tastes like because it doesn't taste like anything. You're being fed through a tube. Well, how many of you have ever been sick? Lost your taste buds? Have you eaten something and you couldn't taste it? Does that mean you starved to death? That means you can't taste it. So it's fair to say that our Lord, in his beauty and his orchestration, in his love towards us, allowed us to be able to taste things. So how about this? The next time you grab yourself a cherry, an apple, a pear, a grape. Bite into it and know that when it... Now, if it tastes good, sometimes they're bitter, right? Taste it and see, oh, this is sweet. This tastes good. Do you understand that God wasn't obligated to make sure you ate anything that you enjoyed? You're not... You can't starve to death by not having... Now, some of you may like flavorless food. I think everybody here knows there's a such thing called seasoning. Even if you don't use all the high-class stuff, you use a little bit of salt, right? Why? It helps it taste better. Some people have a hard time drinking water. Why? Because it doesn't taste like anything. You understand this, that, hey, God, in his orchestration, allowed us to have taste buds so that we can enjoy his creation. So every time you go, when you guys go out and you eat something, thank you, Lord. Oh, it tastes so good. I love it. The tri-tip. Where's John at? John's not here. Tri-tip is good. It tastes good. God's orchestration. He is in control over all things. And what do we see that with Jesus? What happens in Matthew? Jesus goes to a fig tree. It has no fruit. What does he do? He curses the fig tree. What happens to the fig tree? It withers away. God is in control. He didn't even have to curse the fig tree. He could have, less than a blink of an eye, cursed the fig tree and the fig tree would have withered away. So since we know this about Almighty God and his creation, we know this about his creation, we know this about him, how much more should we pay reverence to him and say, Lord, thank you? Maybe, and I was going to save this for next week, but I will do it now. Maybe, your suffering that you're going through now is building your relationship with him. If it was easy all the time, how is it going to work? I'm having a hard time in this class. It's making it very difficult. Okay. When you finish it, you'll be stronger. I want to run a mile in 2024 without stopping. It's going to be uncomfortable at first. Somebody, I'm not saying their name, decided to do a cycling class this week. Took them out. But you know what? They keep on it, they're going to be just fine. When you start getting older, you go to the gym. I had a great time in the gym. I feel great. The next day, you're like... And then what makes it worse, 2 days later, you're still like... When I was doing massage, I remember I went to the gym, man, I had a great time. Went to the gym, was like, oh man, I'm ready to go. Yeah, yeah. The next day, brother was sore. Walk in, hey, you ready for your massage? Yeah, okay, come on. Like, do you need a massage? Yeah, I do. I'm messed up. I'm sore. It's going to hurt. Life is going to hurt. Life is going to be painful. It's not going to make sense. But remember this. Trust in him. In the military, they break you down for to nothing to build you up. Jesus must, God will, bring you down so that he can build you up and so that you can be conformed into his image. If that means that you must suffer a little bit, fine. Jesus suffered and did nothing. So how dare you say, I don't deserve this? What Jesus did and you don't? Maybe our suffering brings us closer to our Lord. Maybe our suffering says, you know, I need to open up my Bible and I need to read because I don't, Lord, I don't understand why. Consider that. Or unless you want God himself to come at you in a whirlwind to where you have no choice, but you will be shaking. Because let me tell you something. You don't want God to answer your question, why? Why?